Matthew chapter 14 tonight, please. Matthew chapter number 14. It's a real privilege to have our oldest son, Rod, with us this weekend. And pray for us. Rod and I are going to go out on a big boat out in the Gulf deep sea fishing tomorrow. And so we're pretty excited about that. I've done a lot of fishing, but never any deep sea fishing. So we pray our nets will be full and breaking. But anyway, Matthew chapter 14 tonight, and I appreciate so much Brother Gruben asked me to preach tonight, and I love to preach, and I've studied and prayed, and I believe this is what God would have me to preach here tonight. And I was sitting out on our lanai tonight, screens open, enjoying the cooler weather, and praying, and I was thinking, you know, God wouldn't have me preach this unless there was folks who needed this. So I pray that you pay close attention to me, your watches, and that you'd apply this to your heart and see if there isn't something here God has for you. All right, I'll let you remain seated, but we'll still read the Word of God with respect, starting in verse number 22 of Matthew chapter 14. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked. He walked. He walked. You got it? He walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now, loving Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit. I pray, Heavenly Father, you help me to recall what I've studied, prepared. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, you help me hide behind the cross that others could only see Jesus tonight. For it's in his precious name we pray and praise you. Amen. Amen. This is a very interesting set of scriptures. The Bible has many different accounts of true happenings in the New Testament, particularly in the Gospels with the Lord Jesus Christ and different events that has happened. But this is one of them that kind of sticks out in most people's mind, and the reason is Peter walked on the water. Now, tonight I wanted you to see seven things out of these verses that I read unto you tonight. I've entitled this, "The Storms of Life." And if I'd ask you to raise your hand, a lot of you could raise your hands that you're in a storm right now. A lot of you could do that. Some of you could raise your hands that I just come out of a storm. And someone else could raise their hand and say, "I can see I'm headed into one." So storms in our life is part of our life as long as we live. But I believe God has some great truth for us here tonight that we could garner from these verses that could be a big help to us. And point number one, you could be in the will of God and be in a storm. Not much reaction there. I suppose everybody already knew that. But you could be in the will of God and be in a storm. Look at verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And this is right after the feeding of the 5,000 men of five loaves of bread and two fishes. So apparently it was still light out, and Christ was had fed them supper, and now he's sending them away. But he had the disciples cross the Sea of Galilee where he was to meet them on the other side. Now, that was his command to them, and they obeyed that command. But look at verse number 24 now. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, I'll show you in a little bit how long they'd been. How many hours they've been trying to cross the Sea of Galilee. But I want us to get imprinted on our mind and our heart that you could be in the will of God and find yourself in a storm. You could find yourself suffering things in this life just because we live in this life. You know, too many times people try to judge somebody else's life based upon what's wrong with them in the way of sickness or finances or problems. And I've heard people say, well, they must have really done something wrong. Folks, that's not ours to judge. I remind you again, you and I could be right in the middle of God's will and find ourselves in a storm. But now I must also report to you, sometimes you can cause your own storm. Crockett really shook his head on that one. Amen. I know, forget, many years ago as a young man, I was working at International Harvester Company in Springfield, Ohio. I painted trucks. And sometimes on Saturdays, second shift, they'd have me work down in the paint repair department down on the first floor. And there, where there'd be a little ding or a little something wrong with the paint, there was probably about 10 of us that would work overtime, go down there and fix those trucks. As soon as you got the truck done, you put the blinkers on, the inspector would come by, inspect it, and set it on. Now, these are cabs and frames. There's no bodies on the vehicles. And I had a mean foreman. Anybody ever had a mean foreman? He did not like Christians. And he always did his best to give me a hard time. Jerry Riley, I'll never forget him, never forget his name. I was down there working away, and as soon as I get a truck done, he'd come over and look at it, and then the inspector would come, but he would keep me there, keep me busy, while everybody else would go take a break, get a cup of coffee, until they brought in a new truck. But not me. No, sir. He's going to keep me there. He's going to keep me busy. He's going to keep me sweeping, picking up stuff. And you ever say to yourself, well, I got my own rights? Well, just outside, the big overhead door there where they bring the trucks in, just outside, there was rows and rows of these big, big trucks. Again, with just the cab and the frame. And they're out there for body work, a paint touch-up, or parts missing. Well, he turned his back, and I decided, I got my rights. I'm getting my break. I grabbed my thermos of coffee, and I took off. I took down a row of trucks until I seen one of the 10 on it, climbed up in there, turned the key on, listened to WEEC, Springfield, Ohio, Christian radio station. I tell you, I put my feet back. I felt so good about what I was doing. And I just had a great time. The windows even got steamed up while I was in there. It was in the winter. And drinking my coffee and having a good time. Until I went to get out of the truck. No door handles. Absolutely true. There wasn't no door handles. No door handles. No door panels. All those parts were missing. I'm out there sitting in a truck, and now once my rights don't seem so important, folks. And these trucks are all real close together in a long line. And I started that truck up, and I wiggled and wiggled and wiggled and wiggled. And I finally got out, drove around that big overhead door, And they got a big rope outside you pull, but there wasn't no window cranks either besides door handles. And all I could do was lay on the horn. As I laid on the horn, guess what I prayed? Anybody but Jerry Rowley come to that door. Now remember what I said, you can start your own storms. You can cause your own storms. I never forget it. That door started up, look, and I saw feet that had shiny shoes on them. And yes, it was Jerry Rowley. Now, the rest of the story is I got off really, really easy. But that's just an example of many times of how we can get our own selves in trouble, cause our own storm, because I have this right, I have that right, this, that, the other. The only right we have, my friends, is to be an example, a shining light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jonah caused his own storm. I want you to look at verse 24 again. But the ship was now in the midst, or in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. There's a lot of things that could be contrary to us in this life. There's a lot of things that could cause us problems and grief and heartache. Finances, our health, family problems, job problems. And the list could go on and on and on. But I want you to know that even though all these problems come upon us, it does not mean we're not still in the will of God. And of course, when problems come, it's a good time to examine ourselves, make sure we are right with the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing I see is Jesus prays for us during the storm. Look at verse number 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ might have been alone, but my friends, he's omnipresent. I don't understand it, but I believe it by faith. He could be every place at the same time. He definitely saw the disciples towing in the sea. He saw the winds contrary unto them. And the Bible says there in verse number 20, or excuse me, in 23, that he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening come, he was there alone. He was praying. Now, I guarantee you, and I'll show you a little later, that he was praying for the disciples. And turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. I'll give you a minute to get there. But you know, there's a lot of things we can learn in storms. And Jesus teaches us in the storms. And the biggest lesson we can learn is we need to lean on him. Take our problems to him. I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person, when a problem comes, first thing I want to do is work it out myself. You ever that way? Years ago, we live in a mobile up in Ohio. Years ago, we were going someplace a couple days, come home, and the pipes are froze, no water. I turned them all on, no water, late at night. I tried to call a friend of mine whom had one of those torpedo heaters to put underneath to thaw my pipes. He wasn't home. I couldn't get him. And I was trying to figure out who else to call, and I was all worried about pipes breaking and all that. And Gloria stopped me and said, "Do you ever think maybe we ought to pray about this?" And folks, I never will forget that. We stood in front of the sink, and I prayed and asked God to help us so that the pipes wouldn't break. At the end of my prayer, the water come on. I kid you not. And Gloria and I remember that well. And I still remember my wife telling me I need to pray. But my friends, look with me, if you would, please, here in Mark chapter 6, verse number 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Jesus, what? As I said, he saw. He was praying, he saw. And he, of course, goes to the Father for us. Jesus prays for us. And in our storm, Jesus knows more about it than we do. Many times we have a lesson to learn. Many times there are situations in our life that will benefit us when the storm is over. Sometimes those storms are the benefit of others around us, that they may be able to garner strength and see how we weather the storms ourselves, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can be in the will of God and be in a storm. Jesus prays for us during the storm. And then I got good news for you, number three. Jesus draws closer during the storm. If you would look with me, please, at verse 24 again. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Now, the first watch is from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second watch is from 9 p.m. to midnight. Now, the third watch is from midnight to 3 a.m. So sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., they were still rowing, trying to get across the Sea of Galilee with everything, the winds and everything contrary to them, when Jesus came unto them. And even as we see in verse number 25, walking on the sea. I'm glad to know that Jesus will draw even closer to us as we turn to him, and no matter what problem we have, he gives us comfort that no one else could give us. He gives us guidance that no one else can give us. And I'm so thankful to know that Hebrews 13:5 says that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How comforting it is to know that he draws closer during the storms. Number four, I see needless fear here, my friends. Look at verse number 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Now, I've thought about that, cried out for fear. Now, my wife is a real good screamer. Least little thing that she could scream. And sometimes the scream scares me more than what the problem is we have. But anyway, the Bible says they cried out for fear. I just can't imagine these adult men who allow such fear to come upon them. They're screaming. They're crying out. Don't you and I want to do that sometimes when the problems come upon us? Sometimes after the tears are gone, a little anger comes rushing in. Turn with me back to Mark chapter 6 again, please. Look at verse number 49. Mark chapter 6 again, please. Verse number 49. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. Now watch verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts was hardened. Didn't take them long to forget what Jesus had just done before he sent them across the Sea of Galilee. The feeding of the 5,000 men besides women and children. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And how often we can forget in the past what Jesus has done for us and cry out anew when a new problem comes upon us, and sometimes we need somebody to play a violin for us, don't we? So we can have a pity party. Sometimes you can meet somebody that never have a good day. At least they say they never. There's always something wrong. There's some folks that you just don't want to say, how are you? Or they'll give you an organ recital. Apparently you've heard that one. Tell you all what's wrong with them, and this is wrong, my heart's this, my kidney's that, and so forth and so on. But my friends, you and I can have great comfort in knowing what Jesus will do for us during this storm, and we can look back at storms in the past and see how that He has come through for us and how He's led us and guided us and comforted us and helped us. And how we can put our complete trust in Him. And the fifth thing I see here is Jesus gives comfort during the storm. Verse 27, and straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Well, I tell you, we ought to think of that often, my friends, when problems come upon us. There's times and situations a preacher could find himself in that only God could comfort. She lived two blocks away. She was such a nice lady. Her husband, Oscar, was a swell fellow. We were close. They were great members of my first church. And he got killed in a car wreck. Actually, a trucking accident on I-90. And one of the ladies that's a nurse called me at home and told me it just came across the speaker thing that the sheriff was headed to Inez's house to tell her the news. And I got there just as the sheriff was getting ready to leave. And I stood before her, and folks, there's times when words cannot be expressed. But that folks just know that you care. His name was Dennis Maroney. He lived to be 13. My wife and I invested a lot of time in that little boy's life. He died of cancer. His mother called me before she even called the ambulance when he died at home. God gave that family comfort. Jason Ellert, he was 13. He was on his way to our Christian school. And his dad and him were killed in a car accident less than a mile down the road. What words do you have to say during a time like that? Only Jesus could give the comfort that many people need. We could be there and let them know we care. But my friends, it's Jesus that gives comfort during our storms. Look with me over. This is so important. I want to add this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look over 2 Corinthians chapter 1 with me, please. And I want to show you a truth here that we need to garner out of this as we think about the comfort that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us for the storms that we're in. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort, the measure, the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And my friends, when others are afflicted, when others are in storms maybe that we've already been through, oh, we can be a great encouragement and comfort and a help to them to share what God has done for us and reassure them that God will do the same for them. I'm so thankful, my friends, for the comfort that God gives us during the storms of life. Now, look at verse 28-29 with me, please, as we're moving right along here. This is going to be point number 6, 28 and 29. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Lord Jesus Christ said, come. Peter answered and said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, the disciples are on the ship. And one of the disciples' name was Thomas. And we call him Doubting Thomas, because he doubted the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's no scripture for this, but knowing human nature as well as I do, I could almost see Thomas say, you better not try that. That won't work, Peter. There's always folks in church ready to tell you that whenever you go to do something new. But I could hear him say, you better not try that. But my friends, Peter walked on the water. I made emphasis at the beginning of the message. Peter walked on the water. Now, how far did he walk? Did he take 3 steps, 4, 5, 10, 20, 15, 20 yards? We don't know. But Peter walked on the water. Absolutely amazing to think about that. But it's only because he bid Jesus, and Jesus allowed him the ability to walk on the water. You know, some Christians never attempt anything for God. Listen, I'd rather attempt something great and fail than nothing and succeed. And folks, we need to be busy during our storms serving him. I bet the disciples were saying as Peter walked on the water, gee, I wonder if I could do that. Philippians 4:13, of course, says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So here we have Peter walking on the water. Now verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, there's some interesting wordage in here. When he saw the wind, you and I cannot see the wind, but we can see the effects of the wind. And the effects he saw was the boisterous or the large waves. Now, remember, they've been rowing nearly all night, and they were still in the midst of the sea. And as Peter began to sink, now I could almost hear Thomas again. Now I don't have no Bible for it. I told you so, Peter. But he began to sink. But the point I want you to know before we go any further is that you and I need to know when we're sinking as well. And we can know that by conviction of the Holy Spirit. We have conviction in our heart and our life when we are sinking away from the things of God. And we do. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I don't always like conviction. Some things I'd like to do. Some things, Sam, I'd like to have. But as I get close to having them, conviction sets in. I should not do that. Now, I know none of you are that way but me. How do you know when you're sinking? Convictions. We have convictions. We're convicted by the Holy Spirit when you and I begin to slip away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we all know it's always said that if Peter had kept his eyes on Jesus, he could have kept right on walking. And that is more likely true because Scripture indicates that when he saw the waves, my friends, when he saw those big waves, he began to have fear in his life. They were boisterous, big waves. And then he cried out to Jesus. I want to see this last of all. That you and I need to pray Peter's prayer. Look at verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. He cried out to Lord Jesus Christ to save him in the situation, in the storm, in the problem he was in. And you and I, my friends, need to cry out that same prayer. I want you to notice Peter didn't pray for a state representative, state senator, and the governor and the president before he got around to asking the Lord to save him. He got right to the point. Lord, save me. Here's my need. Lord, save me. Look at verse 31. Sweetest verse in this setting of verses. And immediately, not later, immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto them, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? Now, as I see that setting of scripture there, look again with me, please. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Leads me to believe that Peter had almost walked up to Jesus. Of course, we know Jesus could do anything. But we see that Jesus caught him. And then, as I said, we need to let Jesus get a hold of our life. Some of you need to do that tonight. You need to let him get a hold of your life, control your life. There's some things you need to get right with him, I believe, tonight. Don't fight it anymore. Psalm 121:1. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My friends, it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse number 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. I tried to visualize, and I do this all the time with scripture, and some things we don't know for sure, but we could visualize them. How did Jesus, after he caught Peter, how did Jesus and Peter get back to the ship? Did Peter be able again to walk on the water? I've almost pictured this, of Jesus carrying him back to the ship. And friends, Jesus could carry us through any problems, any situations that we have in this life. But we need to trust him and him alone and put all our faith in him as these storms howl upon us in this life. And we need to comfort one another when we know that our brother or sister is in a storm. We need to comfort them, encourage them, and help them. But we need to learn from the storms that we find ourselves in. What a great God we serve. That we could be in the will of God and be in a storm. That Jesus prays for us during the storm. Jesus draws closer to us during the storm. And we need not fear, but put our faith and trust in him, because Jesus gives us comfort in the storm. Pray Peter's prayer tonight, my friends. Lord, save me. What is it you need tonight? I know you're already saved and born again, but there's things in your life that needs to have a big turnaround. There's things in your life that you need to stop doing. There's some things in your life you need to start doing. That's what the old-fashioned altar is for. When God speaks to your heart through the Word of God, it's our responsibility to respond. And guess what? Jesus will bless you for it. So I want to encourage you, as we get ready to have the invitation, that you step forward, get to the altar, and put on the altar whatever God has showed you tonight during this message. Heavenly Father, now we come to the time of the invitation, and I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you have spoken to hearts, and Lord, I pray that folks might respond and do exactly